Heavenly Father, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Now, this being harvest, we're celebrating food, and I've got some edible incentives. I'm just looking here because I think I've mislaid some of them. But there they are. That's it. Now, I've got some edible incentives here. Not quite as healthy as some of the things around the church. But if you can, I'm going to say the word Jesus quite a bit in this address. And if you can work out how many times I say it, this can be yours. And I'm going to ask Catherine to look after it for me. And Catherine has another responsibility I'm going to thrust on her now, which is that I'm going to ask you some questions. And if you get the answer right, you can have one of these hero chocolates. So you know. And again, Catherine is a very fine, upstanding person, is going to look after these and not eat them, I'm sure. Can we have the first slide up, please? Thank you. We're in the a series where we're looking at the entire Bible in 6 weeks. And we've heard in the first week, we heard about how God created, God made the world, so that this world is, it has a purpose. We are not random agglomerations of molecules. We have a purpose. But we also heard, and if we can have our next slide, please, that human beings have gone their own way, and there is a lot of rubbish in the world, and there is a lot of literal rubbish. Here's a rubbish dump in Brazil where some people are actually living, but there's also a lot of rubbish in the way human beings, how we behave towards each other. So rubbish doesn't just mean garbage. And then last week we looked at how in the rest of the Old Testament, God tries to set things right. He sets out on a rescue mission, seeking his people out, using leaders like Abraham and Moses. And you could read the Old Testament almost like a love story, with God searching for his wayward people, but with limited success. Now today, in the fourth week of our series, we come to the Gospels. Anyone tell me what the word gospel means? You stick your hand out if you can tell me. This is it. Yes. Good news. Sweet to that lady, to Nicola in the back. Catherine, do you mind? I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to be sweet distributor. There is a slight danger. I have to say that the 9:30 service had more of those sweets than I'd realised, so we might possibly run out of it. If so, you can sort of, you know, see me afterwards. Okay, so gospel means good news. Let's look then at what the good news is about. If we can have, we've got the next slide up. We're going to look at John's gospel. Now, there are Bibles in the bottom chairs of the chairs in front of you, and I'd like you to get one out. Now, it doesn't matter, there are fewer Bibles than there are people, possibly, but you don't actually need to necessarily see the words to get what's going on. But if you can be near one, that would be help. And can you turn to page 1004? Because there you will find John's Gospel. And John's Gospel starts on a page 1004, and it finishes on page 1030. Now, can anyone put their hand up and tell me how many pages, therefore, does John's Gospel have? Almost. I said this and I was wrong, and I'm afraid it's just not quite right. Yeah, it's easy. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. 26, almost. It's actually, it's 27. You've got to count 1004 and 1030, so it is 26 between the two, but it is 27 as a total number. So 27 pages in John's Gospel. And as you turn over the pages, and if you turn over them with me, you can see these different headings, and they're telling us the main themes and telling us what it's about. Jesus changes water into wine. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. The Gospels are about Jesus, who lived in what we now call Israel about 2,000 years ago. And if you've turned to page 1010, you'll find there One of the headings is Jesus feeds the 5,000. Here's one of the most famous stories about Jesus. Now, anybody able to tell me briefly what's the feeding of the 5,000 about? Yes. That's it. And do you remember that he started with 2 loaves and 5 fishes? And then what happened? Yeah, there was lots more. A small amount of grub was transformed into a vast amount of food. Now, the Bible tells us, it begins by telling us how God created the world. And here's a man who makes food multiply in extraordinary amounts. And just as we rely on the food we have, so people looked at Jesus and saw what he did there and thought, only God can create things. And let's turn to page 1019. And what you'll see is on the right-hand side of the page, there's the story of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and people spread palm branches on the ground in front of him, shouting, Hosanna. Anyone know what this day is often called? Yes, please. Thank you. Palm Sunday. Another sweet over there. It's called Palm Sunday. Now, here's the thing. Look at the... We're on page 1019, so we've still got nearly half of this gospel to go. But if you count up the number of days in the gospel account between this page and the end, you find it's only a few days. It's a few weeks, maybe 30, 40 days. That's all. But the pages 1004 to 1019, that's years are covered in that. So that means that John's gospel slows down towards the end. It's a bit like this. If we could have the next slide, please. Now, folks, to those of you who think of CD players, this is what people used to have before there were CD players, okay? And I know that CDs and indeed Spotify and so on are wonderful things, but this machine, this is a record player, and it can do things that you can't do on Spotify. And in particular, you can play music at different speeds. So you can play something, you can speed it up, so you can do it 33 or 45. So let's say you had a recording of Donald Trump's speeches, you could speed it up so it would sound more like Donald Duck speeches. But what's happening here in the gospel reading is that somebody's taking the record and they've slowed it down. And the next slide, please. Here's a referee doing VAR on a football match. Now, the thing about this is you use VAR when you have to slow the action right down because there's something important going on. You're trying to decide if it was or it wasn't a goal. And so you slow everything right down. And what's happening in John's gospel is John is slowing everything right down towards the end, because what is happening here is incredibly important. We're going to think about what it is that's really important in a minute. Okay, would you like to take a seat? And I'm afraid, Catherine, I'm going to need your services as sweet monitor again. So we've looked at John's gospel, and we've seen that just like the other gospels, it slows down when you get towards the end of Jesus' life. And we know that means something really important is going on. Now, we thought about the day Palm Sunday. That's on chapter 12 of John's Gospel. What's the Friday after Palm Sunday called? Anyone raise your hand, tell me. Now, you've answered already, so if I may, I'm gonna try someone else and see if I can get another hand. Anne, go on. Good Friday. Okay, there we go. Good. Thank you very much. And what's the Sunday that comes after Good Friday? Easter Sunday. Thank you. There you go. That's a, I sense a sugar deficit in that row. John's Gospel is slowing down because of Good Friday and Easter Day. Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So when Jesus dies on the cross, as he does on Good Friday, he's doing something quite extraordinary. Let me take this book, this Bible, it's in my hand. It's weighing down on my hand. I can feel its weight on my hand. Imagine this book represents all the rubbish that's in this world. That might be rubbish things that other people have done to you or me. It might be rubbish things that I have done to other people, or you have done to other people. And it weighs us down. And Christians hold that on Good Friday, on the cross, Jesus takes the rubbish, the weight that weighs us down, and takes it on himself. And that means that suddenly you and I are free. You and I have had that weight lifted from us. All that we are ashamed of, anything bad that has been done to us, God takes it into himself on the cross. We are no longer weighed down. We are free. And this is what John's Gospel means when it says God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. More than that, after 3 days in the grave, Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Day. Now, this is hard for us to get our heads around. But one thing to remember is that people no more rose from the dead on Easter Day 2,000 years ago than they do now. The people of the Roman Empire were a sophisticated, hard-bitten bunch of people. So something very dramatic happened to change people's minds. The followers of Jesus weren't expecting anything of the kind. They were devastated on Good Friday when he died on the cross. And one of the pieces of evidence for why the resurrection is true, and there is very solid evidence for why it is true, one of the pieces of evidence is the extraordinary change in Jesus' followers after Easter Day. They turn from being full of fear to being unstoppable. They start speaking about good news, gospel, that no one had ever heard of before. And many people have concluded that the reason they did so was because Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning. And if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything is different. For whatever frightens you or frightens me, whatever gets you down, whatever gets me down, whatever troubles you are carrying now, or I am carrying, they are smaller than the hope we have in Jesus. Our biggest enemy of all is death, and the resurrection says that death is defeated. And that is why John says in his gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus. Our burdens are carried. And we have the promise that those who trust in Jesus have resurrection life, just as Jesus did. Here's another slide. Cameron, I wonder if we could have the slide with the you and God on. This is running slightly ahead, so I don't know if you can run back to the other side. But most of the time, we can feel... Life can feel like this. It feels as if there's a big gap between us and God, as if God might be vaguely there, but not really so much as you could sense him. After Good Friday, if we could have the next slide, please. Jesus acts as the bridge between us and God by the cross and the resurrection. Jesus is our bridge. And God, we can then cross over. We can know God closely, intimately, because of what Jesus has done. And this is really, really good news. Whenever we feel anxious, whenever we feel we've messed up badly, that is not the end of the matter. We can even face death itself, and that is not the end. Can we have John 3:16 back up, please? The verse which Mark taught us that stands at the very head of this church, you could say that that summarizes what the gospel is. That summarizes what being a Christian is all about. And it is good news, the best news. Sometimes I talk about the blessing that we have as followers of Jesus as three P's: purpose, pardon, and peace. The second P is pardon. And by that, I don't mean pardon in the sense of I beg your pardon, but more pardon in the sense of a royal pardon. A royal pardon is something that the queen can grant, meaning that if someone is given that, then whatever they've done doesn't count against them. And when God pardons us, that means that whatever wrong has happened to us or whatever wrong we have done does not count. He pardons us. And so if you are feeling weighed down by anything in your life, trust in the Jesus of Good Friday and Easter Day. Jesus on the cross takes the weight of what we've done. And because of this, we can know eternal life that comes from God. If you are a follower of Jesus, it's really important always to remember those three P's: the purpose, the pardon, the peace that we have in Jesus. And if you're not sure what you think, I would say to you, this is good news. And I would urge you to follow Jesus and to know the blessing in your life of following him. And if you'd like to know a bit more about that, then by all means come and talk to Lindsay or Mark or myself after the service. Amen. There's one thing I haven't done, which is found a destination for the Maltesers. Can I grab them? Okay, anyone like to give me a guess as to how many times I used the word Jesus, and I'm not counting that word time just then, in this sermon? Okay, at the back. 27, thank you very much for that bid. 24? 25. We've got another one. 22, did you say? 21, okay. 26. I have to say, my computer, and I appreciate, I may not have said it right, you know, I'm not the computer, said 29. So that gentleman at the back is the proud possessor of